Well, if you would turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 12, we're going to look at verse 10 today. We'll look at a lot of verses, but we'll start in verse 10. If you don't have your Bible handy, they'll all be up on the screen. As I get into this, I just want to give a little introductory comment. This is not your normal Sunday morning message. This is a message that I normally give in my spiritual gifts class on Wednesday night. But in light of the times that we're living in, I felt like this message needed to be heard on a Sunday, and you will not hear this message in any other church on a Sunday morning, I assure you, because of the warfare that comes with it. But let's look at 1 Corinthians 12:10 and then ask some good questions of it. 1 Corinthians 12:10, context here, all of this section of 1 Corinthians 12, Paul is talking about spiritual gifts. He's talking about healing and prophecy and words of knowledge and speaking in tongues and all that kind of stuff. And so he's continuing on, and to another, that is to another person, miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. What in that passage jumps out to you and you scratch your head and you're like, huh, wonder what that's about. Distinguishing between spirits. Ever wondered about that? Ever read that in your Bible and just been like, huh, I wonder what that's about? Well, we're going to find out today because it's really important that we understand that. Again, this occurs within a long list of spiritual gifts that Paul wants us to understand and operate in. So we need to understand this gift. So I want to start by asking this question. Why do we need this gift? Why would this gift be important? Why would God have given us this gift? And I think we can find the answer to that in a few other scriptures. So you can go to the 2 Corinthians 11:14. 2 Corinthians 11:14, and no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. Do you understand what this means? The devil's roaming around trying to pretend to be something good. Well, how are you going to know? How are you going to understand when it's God doing something good and when it's the devil pretending to be good? You've got to have a tool to know the difference, right? And that's what this gift is. So you can go to the 1 John 4 passage. 1 John 4:1, dear friends, do not believe every spirit. Well, that should be sobering. But test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have come and gone into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now already in the world. That's a whole message right there. The spirit of Antichrist has been in the world since the days of Paul. So we can stop trying to predict which politician is the Antichrist. Right? Every president, every politician is the Antichrist. Well, the spirit of Antichrist has been in the world since the days of Paul. So we have to be able to discern what's what. But this passage started with, don't believe every spirit, which means there are other spirits talking to you. You get this? There are other spirits talking to you. And Paul says, don't believe all of those spirits. Test them. Test the spirits to see whether or not they are from God. That's why God gives us the gift of discerning spirits. You see that? Here in this 1 John passage, John talks about recognizing that not every spirit is from God. And then he goes on to say that not every prophet is from God. So when you turn on your television and you see these would-be prophets making predictions, you need to be able to know whether that guy's really a prophet or not. Let's even go to the 1 Timothy 4:1 passage. The Spirit clearly says that in the later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. He's talking about our day. He's talking about 2022. Right? Which again means that there are other spirits, other demons out there teaching things and leading people away from the faith. How do you know the difference? There's been a huge drop-off in the Christian faith over the last couple of years because there are demons out there teaching things. And most American Christians and Western Christians didn't know the difference. That's why we need to understand how to operate in this gift. We're being deceived. Let's even go to the Matthew 13 passage. Jesus is telling the parable of the weeds, and in it he says, but while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weed seeds among the wheat and went away. And then we know that the weeds almost destroy the wheat crop. Well, the wheat crop is us. And the weeds are tares, which look so much like wheat you can't tell the difference. Right? The whole point of the parable of the weeds is that the tares and the wheat, you can't tell them a bit difference. When I preach on that, I put pictures of both up on the screen so you can see them. The tares and the wheat look just the same. So in other words, as you look around the church, there are some tares in here, no doubt. But then it says that the seeds get planted while you're sleeping. So how do we know? All of these passages that I just read are showing us that the enemy loves to work in secret and hidden ways. But we need a way to uncover that, to blow the lid off of that, so to speak. So these few scriptures that we just looked at should make it clear why we need this spiritual gift of discerning spirits. Having said that, I think this is the most neglected and the most misunderstood gift in the Bible. I can't tell you how many spiritual gift class I've seen and heard and spiritual gifts books I've read that just gloss over this one. They don't even deal with it. It's like it's not even there. And if you do a spiritual gift inventory, you might come up with the gift of hospitality, but you're probably not going to come up with the gift of discerning spirits. They just gloss over it because they don't understand how essential it is that we can tell. All those scriptures, that's really important. The demons are out there deceiving us. How do we know? How can we tell the difference? So I think this is the most neglected and most misunderstood gift, and so that's why I'm talking about it today. I think the church in general, the capital C church, is paying the price for not having this gift in operation. But when you think about it, that makes sense because the enemy doesn't want to be discovered, so he'll push back against this gift more than any other. People who can operate in this gift can blow the lid off of what the enemy is doing, and so the enemy will fight hard to prevent people from operating in this gift. This gift is so misunderstood that many people who have this gift don't know what's happening. There used to be a woman in our church who operated in this gift very strongly, but she never understood what it was. And so she thought she was crazy, and people often told her she was crazy. People would say, you're crazy, you need to get help. Well, one day she shared with me what she was seeing and how she was perceiving things, and I said, oh, you have the gift of discerning spirits. And she said, what? And so I taught her how to operate in that gift, and she became an incredible asset to this church, and I'll share a story later about how she really helped us.
How is that different from a seer?
That's more along the lines of prophetic. A seer is more seeing what God is doing, although that is in this gift as well, and I'll talk about that. Seer is a advanced prophet, to maybe boil it down too simply. So now let's take this little phrase here to another, distinguishing between spirits, and really pick it apart so we understand what this gift is. This is a gift from God. So you see, you got to understand, God understands, God knows that the devil is coming against his people, the church. He knows that, he understands it. So when Jesus died on the cross, he gave us full and total authority over what the devil is doing, so we already have the victory. We fight from a place of victory. The devil wiggles and worms from a place of defeat. But we have to be able to see and discern what the devil is doing to apply the victory. Got it? So as we look at this phrase, to another, distinguishing between spirits, the word here for discerning or distinguishing, many English translations use discerning. The NIV that I showed uses distinguishing. Either word is fine. But the word that's translated in English as discerning or distinguishing in Greek is the word diakrisis, which means discern, distinguish, or pass judgment. And the word diakrisis comes from the Greek verb root kerino, which means to judge. So the concept of judging is very much in mind here, which is where most English translations come up with distinguishing or discerning or judging, something like that. So the gift is in the ability to discern or to judge, okay? Then the word translated here as spirit in Greek is the word pneuma, which simply means spirit, from where we get our English word pneumatic. If you work with any kind of power tools, pneumatic power tools are those that are operated by air power, air pressure. So pneuma just refers to wind or to air, to spirit. But what's important to understand here is here in this phrase, the word pneuma is in plural in the Greek. pneumas. That's bad Greek, but so we're judging more than one spirit. So God has given us a gift of discerning or judging of many spirits. So even in this phrase, we understand that there's more than one spirit trying to talk to us. Now, many commentators simply want to make this about the ability to discern and lessen the idea of seeing, but people who have this gift often see things in the spirit realm. On the negative side, they can see things like spiders, rats, shadows, and outright demons, and I'll talk about that more in a minute. On the positive side, they can see angels. Here's an interesting story. I always say when it comes to spiritual gifts, the spiritual gifts are already in you, they just need to be activated. So whatever spiritual gift God has for you, it's already in you, it just needs to be activated. Years ago, I just thought I was intuitive and just had a way of knowing things until I came into the vineyard and like, no, dude, you're prophetic, and they activated the gift of prophecy in me, and now I can operate prophetically quite easily. But I didn't know that at first. I just thought I was really intuitive and always knew what was going to happen next. Anyway, so there was a woman that came to our church. She was not a believer. We used to rent this first door over here. We used to rent that space out to a counseling service. And a woman who was coming here to that counselor decided to visit our church one Sunday. I wish I could remember her name, but I can't. She came in our front door and she sat through the service. And then after the service, so she already had a gift of discerning spirits. She just didn't know what it was and it hadn't been activated, but it was already functioning. After the service, she told Amy, she's like, I really couldn't pay attention to that guy up front talking. I was watching the battle on the ceiling. And Amy's like, what? And she goes, there were two armies up there. There was two armies on horses and chariots with swords and spears, and they were battling each other on the ceiling. She goes, I was watching that. I couldn't pay attention to the guy up front talking. So she could already see into the spirit realm and see the cosmic battle happening in the spirit realm. And then she told Amy, and I thought it was really cool that you've got the 9-foot guard outside the front door. Well, there's never been anybody in our church that was 9 feet tall. But she saw a 9-foot guard at the front door. Again, she was seeing into the spirit realm, and she could see that there was an angel out there. So how cool is that? And this was a non-believer. She had not come to Christ yet. As part of this discerning, so again, we're talking about the gift of discerning, it can sometimes be the ability to tell when someone is lying. Because that can be really helpful in the kingdom, right? I think we have an example of this in Acts 5. Stephen put up the Acts 5 passage. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and kept for yourself some of the money that you received for the land? We all know the story. Ananias and Sapphira kept back some money. Peter calls them out and they die. Well, how did he know they were lying? He was operating the gift of discerning spirits. Now, this gift of discerning spirits often works very closely with other gifts, especially gifts of prophecy or words of knowledge. This gift can be used to judge and discern prophecy or words of knowledge, which God commands us to do in 1 Corinthians 14 and 1 Thessalonians 5. He says, test the prophets and judge whether they are from God. Well, we can test prophets because it says right here in this passage that we can discern spirits, and not all spirits and not all prophets are from God, right? So this gift of discerning spirits can enable other gifts. It can tell you the nature of a prophetic vision. This gift can also help you when praying for healing. You can look at the person and see that it is a demon causing their condition. So several years ago now, a woman came to Amy and I. She had been suffering from a chronic health issue for 45 years. Debilitating health issue for 45 years. She had been to all the doctors and the doctors could not help her. And she had been to many would-be prophets and they could not pray for her healing. So she came to us, we sat down with her, and just right away I'm like, oh, it's a demon. And I'll tell you later in my message how I knew that, but it was a demon. But I knew the name of the demon. I discerned. And so it was an easy one to verify. So I asked the woman, can you go ask your family if your ancestors have been involved with these activities? And she went, okay. So she did. She went and asked her family. She came back. She said, yes, my grandfather was very much involved in those activities. I said, okay, your health issues is because of this certain demon. We prayed off that demon, and she was immediately and completely healed. It's been 3 years now, and the health issue has never come back, not even once. After going to many, many doctors and many, many other people for praying for healing, because no one would take the time to discern that it was a spirit causing the health issues. So we can jump in and pray for healing all day long, but we got to discern if there's a spirit behind it first, right? Now let's ask the next question of this gift. What does this gift look like in Scripture? I believe we can see this gift used very effectively in Scripture, and I want to look at that. Let's even go to the Acts 16 passage. Acts 16:16. Once when they were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. So those fortune-tellers that are out there today, those are demons. In case you didn't know that, they're demons. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the Spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the Spirit left her. But wait a minute. She's going around saying, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." That sounds legit. That sounds like it agrees with 1 John 4:2. That sounds very legit. But after several days of this, Paul's like, "This is a spirit. Come out of her." He discerned that it was a spirit, even though it sounded like it was okay. Do you see that? That's how important this gift is. Here's another example, Acts 13. Go to Acts 13 one, Stephen. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for that is what his name means, opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul from the faith. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas and said, "You are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Now the hand of the Lord is against you. You are going to be blind for a time, not even able to see the light of the sun." Immediately mist and darkness came over him, and he groped about seeking someone to lead him by the hand. When the proconsul saw what had happened, he believed, for he was amazed at the teaching about the Lord. This one is a little less definitive than the first one, but Paul seems to be able to see more than what's happening in the physical realm. Saying something like, "You are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right," seems to go beyond what he could have known in the natural realm. Now, this gift is not only to see evil spirits, but this gift is also so we can see what God is doing. It's positive. So it ties into a little bit what a seer is. Here is a positive example. Stephen, go to the Acts 14. In Lystra, there sat a man who was lame. He had been that way from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had faith to be healed, and called out, "Stand up on your feet." At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. It says that he saw that he had faith to be healed. That's this gift of discerning spirits in action on the positive side. Paul could see that God was already at work in his life and that he had the faith to be healed. I have had many people over the years ask me to pray for healing, but I could discern that God was doing something different and the healing wasn't going to happen. Those other issues needed to be addressed first. Here's one more example, I believe, that shows us this idea of discernment in action. Stephen, go to Acts 8. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, "Give me also this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Peter answered, "May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord in the hope that he may forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin." Then Simon answered, "Pray to the Lord for me so that nothing you have said may happen to me." Do you see He says, for I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin. He says he could see it. It wasn't necessarily apparent in his physical activity other than offering to buy the Holy Spirit, but he could see that there was bitterness there and that the bitterness was the source of his sin, and so he calls it out. It could be really helpful in the Christian life, couldn't it? That's why God has given us this gift, to blow the lid off of what the enemy is trying to do. So now I know what you're all thinking. What does this gift look like in operation in our day? Well, I'm going to give you a couple of stories just from my own experience. They, of course, don't carry as much weight as a biblical example. That's why I started with those. But here's a few stories from our own experience. A minute ago, I mentioned to you the woman that had the gift but just thought she was crazy. People told her she was crazy until she told me, and I said, well, you have the gift of discerning spirits. When worship is happening, when worship in a church is happening, there's a corporate gathering of worship, you can feel the atmosphere lift. You can just feel our worship and our praise lifting toward God in heaven, right? Well, there was a Sunday many years ago, and this woman was still a part of our church. She's moved out of the area now, but she was still here, and I'm walking back and forth, worshiping in the back like I normally do, but I could tell something was wrong because worship wasn't lifting. Worship was just heavy. It was just like a thud. It was just hanging over, heavy. And I went, something's wrong. But I'm not discerning what's wrong. I'm just discerning something is wrong. Well, this young lady came over to me and she said, Pastor, there's a demon standing in the corner by the water cooler. And I go, well, that would explain why worship is the way it is. I couldn't see the demon, but I trusted her because she had a really good track record. So worship's going on. Amy's up here. I walk over to the corner, and I stand there, and I point to the water cooler. I said, get out of here in the name of Jesus. You have no right. Whatever I said, I rebuked that demon and commanded it to get out. I turned around and faced back in the room, and I know it had left because worship just instantly lifted out of the room. So that's what the gift looks like in operation in our day. Here's another story. This was on a Friday night here in our church. It's a long story, but the really short version of it is I had been out of town for a while, and a prayer meeting was happening here in the building. I was on a Friday night. I got home late. I looked out my kitchen window. I could see that the lights were still on. I came over. I was just figuring I was going to say goodnight to everybody and send them home. I think Alana was probably leading the meeting that night. And I came over here, and everyone's like, we want you to pray for us. We want you to pray for us. Oh, okay, okay, okay. So I go around, and I pray for everybody in the circle. And I came to this one woman, and I discerned that there was a spirit of molestation on her. And I just called it out. I said, there's a spirit of molestation on you. She immediately dropped to the floor and began to wiggle, kind of like a snake. And so I got down on the floor, and I spoke to that spirit, and I told it to leave. That woman was so dramatically delivered, I would go so far as to say her personality changed afterward. She was a completely different person because she was finally free to be her. The spirit wasn't tormenting her anymore. Okay? And then one more story that Amy and I have together from South Africa. I honestly can't remember if it was in the city of Durban or the city of Cape Town, but one of those two cities. I had just got done preaching. It was Cape Town? Yeah, that makes more sense with the story. I had just got done preaching. I came down off the stage. Amy came and stood next to me. And people were coming up to greet us and talk to us. And this one woman comes up to me and up to us, and she starts telling me all about that she has epilepsy and that she just has to learn to live with it. I just have to learn to cope with this thing. And I'm like, you do not have epilepsy. I am just discerning a spirit on it. This is not epilepsy. But she just kept going on and on and on about how I have to learn to deal with this. And so finally I said, okay, thanks for sharing that with us. Can we just pray for you? And she said, sure. Amy started to pray. She just jumped right in and prayed blood of Jesus over the woman. The woman, her legs buckled. She went straight down, and she slithered like a snake under the chairs, all the way up an entire row of chairs, just all the way down the whole row of chairs like a snake. And her husband had been standing right next to me, and I looked at him, and I said, you know that's not epilepsy, right? I mean, this doesn't take a rocket science to figure out that that wasn't epilepsy. That is not what an epileptic seizure looks like. When you can slither under a row of chairs all the way down the whole aisle. So I just went and got the pastor of that church and said, hey, you know what just happened over here? That's you. You got to deal with that now. I exposed it. You're going to deal with it. I'm out of here. I got a plane to catch. Yeah. No, I told him, I said, I got a plane to catch. You got to deal with this, Willen. All right, let's get practical for a minute here. I've laid a good biblical foundation for what the gift is and what the gift looks like. So let's say you have this gift, and we're going to activate and release this gift in a minute. If you see or discern something that is not from God, what do? This gift, just like all the other spiritual gifts, never comes for our entertainment. Power always comes with purpose. Power never comes to make a name for oneself. It never comes to start a TV ministry. Power always comes for purpose. So if God is showing you something, he's alerting you to what he's wanting to do. Now, here are a few simple steps and context for what to do. If you see or discern something in the context of a church service, tell the pastor or elder. Like when the Spirit was in the corner by the water cooler, she came and she told me, and then I went and dealt with it. Because in this house, I have authority. She didn't. If she had tried to deal with it, it would have ended badly. Here's the thing I want to tell you as a side note. Demons understand authority more than anybody. Think of the military. Think you're in the military, you're a soldier, and you become aware of something. If you don't go tell your commanding officer, you're in trouble, right? In the military, everything operates by authority. That's the way demons operate. The person with the greatest authority has to be the one to take charge of the removal. So if you see or sense something, don't try to take it on yourself. Tell the person with authority. Tell the pastor, tell the elder. If you're in a small group setting, tell the small group leader. If you discern something when you're in the context of praying for something, just one-on-one, you're praying for someone one-on-one, pray based on what you saw. Let the Lord lead you and guide you in how you should pray. If you're praying for healing and you discern something, this may be the cause of their illness or injury. Deal with that first and then come back and begin praying for the healing again. The healing may already be done. I've seen this so many times. I'm praying for healing and then I discern that there's a spirit involved. So I deal with the spirit and then I go to come back to the healing. The healing's already happened. They're done. They're healed. So deal with the spirit first. Now, if you see or discern something in a public place, use that for intercession. Do not take on territorial spirits by yourself. There's a book written on that called Unnecessary Casualties of War by John Paul Jackson. Territorial spirits are big and they're bad and they will hurt you if you try to take them on by yourself. We deal with territorial spirits by gathering churches together to deal with it in community. Of course, other churches won't join us in the fight. But if you want to read more about that, Unnecessary Casualties of War by John Paul Jackson. And I want to give you an example of a territorial spirit and how big they can be. Stephen, go to the Daniel 10:12 passage. Daniel 10:12. Then he continued, "Do not be afraid, Daniel, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes," that is Michael the archangel, "one of the chief princes came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia." So Daniel begins to pray, and it says from the moment he began to pray, God heard and God sent response in an angel. But that angel was detained for 21 days by the prince and then later the king of Persia. That's referring to a demonic territorial principality who ruled that area, that geographic area. And that principality was so strong, he could stop God's angel for 21 days. So God's angel sent out a distress call, and Michael, the archangel, had to come to deliver the answer of prayer to Daniel. That's why we don't deal with territorial spirits on our own, because they are strong enough to resist God's angels. Does that make sense? I want to give you one more. I don't share this one with you to cause fear, but to cause caution and discernment. Stephen, go to the Acts 19. I've seen this one firsthand myself. One day, the evil spirit answered them, "Jesus I know and Paul I know about, but who are you?" Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. That's in the story of the seven sons of Sceva. They were trying to drive out demons in Jesus' name. but they didn't understand authority. And so they got themselves beat bloody and they ran.
Seven of them.
Right. The one guy with one demon beats up seven men. Right? So we don't take on big bad demons by ourselves. So that's why I'm saying if you discern something, tell the person with authority. Paul would have known how to get rid of that thing. The demon even said, Paul, I know. Paul, I have fear of. But who are you? That's the demon's way of saying, you don't walk in authority, and so I'm going to trample on you. So I share that to say, if you discern something, share it with the person in authority. Often the best thing you can do when you see or discern something is to ask the Lord, what do you want me to do with this? And again, if the context is church, tell the pastor or an elder. Otherwise, it will cause disunity. And like I already mentioned, demonic spirits always respond to and recognize authority. When you pray, you will often get immediate confirmation. When I prayed the demon out of the corner by the water cooler, the atmosphere in the room changed immediately. When I called out the spirit of molestation on that woman, she immediately began to manifest. When we prayed for that woman in South Africa, she slithered like a snake immediately after we prayed the blood of Jesus over her. So the response is usually immediate. You don't have to wait around. Now, continuing to be very practical, what does this look like? How does this work? And I'm really reluctant here because what we're talking about is a spiritual gift. So it's really hard to quantify this. And yet I'm going to make a feeble attempt to do that. Quantify is not the right word because that usually implies numbers. But it's hard to get real detailed description of what this looks like because it's a spiritual gift. And it's the Holy Spirit in you enabling the gift. Right? I'm just going to share with you some of my experiences and how I see that commonly happen. So this can happen in two ways. I can be discerning whether there is a demonic spirit involved in a person or in their life, if I'm dealing with a person, or I can be trying to discern if there is a demonic spirit in an atmosphere, in a geographic place, a location, or a building, okay? I'm going to start with people, and then I'll do location in a minute. So if I'm dealing with a person, one of the ways that the Holy Spirit can tip me off as to the presence of a demonic spirit is facial twitches or grimaces. You're talking to the person, all of a sudden, there's just really weird facial, right? Now, you know, make sure they don't have Tourette syndrome or something, but usually it's, you know, and you're like, what was that? What's that? Yeah, and yeah. That wasn't in my notes, but that's a good point. Pray with your eyes open because you never know what the devil might try to do to you. All right. Sometimes it's a look of confusion on their face, you know. Like, it'll be the twitches. But sometimes they're just like, and what you said wasn't all that difficult or confusing to understand. Number two, this is a good one. They can't look you in the eyes. They cannot make eye contact with you. I do this all the time. If I'm already beginning to suspect that there's a demonic presence, I'll say, I want you to look in my eyes, and I do not want you to look away. Make dead-on eye contact with me while I talk to you, okay? And then just start talking to them and talk about Jesus, talk about the blood of Jesus. And if their eyes roll up into their head, there's a demon. And again, I'm talking about how a spiritual gift, how the Holy Spirit can operate in us, but that's a tool that I've seen him use many times. When I'm talking to somebody, they can't look me in the eye, and their eyes will roll up. Loss of body control. That's a no-brainer. Slithering like a snake is not epilepsy. Again, we have to be somewhat careful. There's somebody in this church who, when she's praying in the Spirit, when she's really praying and connecting with God, she will twitch and have quite large arm movements. So you have to discern that's the Holy Spirit as she's praying in the Spirit. But when I talk about loss of body movement, I'm talking about slithering like a snake up a whole row of chairs. That's just not rocket science, right? This one is more subtle. This one's good and this one's fun. Because people don't get this. You can tell if there's a spirit present by what they say and how they say it. I was having a conversation very recently with someone who was sharing with me some frustrations they were having at work. And I'm listening to the natural realm, but I'm also listening very carefully. I'm discerning Is there a spirit behind this? And then the person says, well, I just need to find a job where I can be valued. Oh, ding, 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 we have a spirit. Did you catch it? I need to find a job where I can be valued. My value comes from being in Christ and created in God's image. Nothing can add to my value or diminish my value. No work, no job, nothing I do adds or creates from my value. So if someone says, I need to find a job where I can have value, ding, 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 we have a spirit. Because that spirit is trying to get the person to think that their value only comes from what they do. So I tried to reframe it in a way that the spirit wouldn't have room to work. I said, you already have value. You need to find a job where they can see your value. You see the difference? So sometimes discerning spirits is really listening carefully to what someone says. Of course, one way we can do that is, does it agree with the character and nature of God? The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And so when I'm listening to people, oftentimes what I'm hearing and what they're saying is killing, stealing, and destroying. And I'm like, oh, there's a demon here. Now, in our day, we have to be careful because what I'm saying is what they say, with what they speak, does it align with the character and nature of God? The problem in our day is biblical literacy is so low that people don't know what the character and nature of God is. And that could just be their natural vocabulary. And so you may have to ask a few more defining questions to see, do they not have any understanding of who God is and what his nature is, or is there a demon here? Of course, the same thing can be true of what they write. I was reminded of a story that happened several years ago where somebody sent an email out to me and several other people in the church. And on the surface, it seemed good, but I discerned two demonic probes in that email. Within the email, it said, someone did, and then it said, someone said. Someone did and someone said are demonic probes of the enemy looking for someone to bite on the bait of gossip. And so I quickly was able to work with that one person and correct it because the spirit in them was trying to cause division within the church by saying someone said, someone did. Right? You see that? Now, sometimes as we're trying again, how does the Holy Spirit help us operate in this gift to discern what the enemy is doing? Sometimes the Holy Spirit is just going to speak to you directly. Like the story with the woman, and I said, I heard that she had a spirit of molestation on her. I just heard that. The Spirit just told me she has a spirit of molestation. All right, now I know what to do. There was another time I was talking, there was a couple, it was a husband and wife couple, and they were talking to me and they were complaining about something and I'm listening to them, and as they're complaining, the Holy Spirit said they're lying. So I quickly found what I thought was a crack in their argument. I just called them out and I said, I think you're lying and here's why. And they said, yeah, we are. You see how God helps us and helps the church stay on track if we'll operate in this gift. And again, it's the Holy Spirit that's doing the work. We're partnering with him. And sometimes the Spirit will speak to you directly through another person. This one's great. So I shared a story with you earlier, and this is part of the same story. We had a woman come to our church. I think it was her first or second time visiting. She came around the corner. She came around that wall there, and she came into the sanctuary. And I was standing up here getting ready. It was before the service. I'm up here getting ready, and she comes around the corner, and she sees me, and she said, I heard a voice that was so loud and so clear, I thought it was audible. But the voice said, don't let him see you. Thankfully, she came right up and told me that. She's like, I just heard a voice that said, don't let him see you. And I'm like, oh, no, I'm dealing with a demon. The demon just announced, I'm here! That was the woman with the chronic illness of 45 years. You see how this all comes together? The demon told me, look, I'm here. And the woman says, oh, I have this chronic illness of 45 years. I'm like, yeah, I know. We're going to deal with it. All right. So sometimes the Holy Spirit just will speak to you directly, either directly to you or directly to someone else. And then number eight, smells. Whether you're dealing with the individual or you're dealing with the location that I'm going to get to in a minute, sometimes you'll smell. It can be a really sweet smell, and that's the Holy Spirit's presence. Or if it's a really bad smell, like it's somewhere between sulfur and vomit and rotten eggs, that's the presence of a demon. Right? How many times are we praying with someone and all of a sudden you just start to smell rotten eggs and sulfur and stuff. You're like, all right, demon just announced his presence here. But that's the Holy Spirit alerting you to what's going on in the spirit realm, okay? I'll hurry up and finish here. Then geographic locations. How do we discern if there's a spirit in a geographic location? Oftentimes people will see animals like bats, rats, crows, or other unclean birds or animals. If like you just suddenly think you saw an unclean animal in a space, that's probably a tip off that there's a demonic presence. Seeing shadows that aren't really there. Seeing dragon-like creatures. I was praying with a young man once. He was deeply embedded in sin, and I was working with him on that. And I asked him, I had prayed for him, and I asked him afterward, what did you see or feel or hear or sense while I was praying for you? He goes, I saw a dragon. It came right up into my face. Like the dragon was like nose to nose with me. I'm like, all right, well, thanks for sharing that. That helps. And then he drew me a picture of the dragon, and it was pretty cool in a scary sort of way. Again, geographic location, sometimes just sensing a really cold presence. You're walking through a room or a space, and all of a sudden you're like, whoa, that was weird. There's like a small, tight pocket of something that's really, really cold. Again, that's probably a demonic presence right there. Or heaviness or darkness in the atmosphere, like when I said the time when the worship wouldn't lift out of here because there was a demon in the corner by the water cooler, and I prayed it out, and the worship lifted. When you just feel that wholesale heaviness or darkness in an area, that's probably the presence of a demonic spirit. Stephen and I had a fun story with that. We were in Senegal in 2016, and somebody had the bright idea to go into a village that was dominated by witch doctors and do evangelism. Remember that? And we walked to this village. We got to the village, and we stood outside the village on this ginormous baobab tree, and you could feel the heaviness and the darkness and the oppression. And so we gathered as a team. There's maybe six of us there that night. We gathered under that tree, and we prayed for a few minutes. Stephen was the one that noticed. He goes, there, it lifted. Did you feel that? We can go in now. The darkness and the heaviness lifted, and we went into the village and did evangelism. But you can feel it in an atmosphere. Agreement. I'll cover that next Sunday.
Jesus said, I saw Satan
fall like lightning, right? And the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world, right? We bring those demonic spirits into our presence through subtle agreements, and I'll talk about that next Sunday. So I think that's going to be important. All right, one last thing and I'm done. I know I'm way over time here. People who operate in this gift tend to face a lot more spiritual warfare. Again, this is probably because they can blow the lid off of what the enemy is doing, so the enemy fights back. There's also something a little tormenting about being able to see demons and evil spirits. It also takes a fair amount of courage to speak up and say what you're seeing. Hey, I see a demonic spirit on you. Can I get rid of that? I usually say, the Lord is showing this to me not to shame you or embarrass you. The Lord is showing me this to you because he wants freedom for you. Do you want freedom for yourself? If they say yes, we're off to the races. So if you operate in this gift, be prepared for a little extra spiritual warfare. But I hope you understand how important this gift is to the church.
But if you don't have it, there's nothing wrong with it.
Right, if you don't have the gift, this verse started with, and to another, distinguishing between spirits. So there's all these different gifts, and people get different gifts according to the way God designated them. Yes, if you don't have the gift, there's nothing wrong with you, but if you do have the gift, please operate in it. And in ministry time, they will try to activate and release that. All right, I better be done. All right, we're going to do communion today since it's the first Sunday of the month. So when Jesus died on the cross, he shed his blood and he had his body broken for us to give absolute victory over all of the work of Satan. Satan's greatest work was death. And Satan's greatest motive is to kill, steal, and destroy. So when Jesus shed his blood and gave up his body, he ended Satan's terror of killing, stealing, and destroying. We now get life, and we get life eternal in the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And then after his death and resurrection, not only did he give us this, afterward he sent the Holy Spirit to live in us. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is living in me and you. And through the help of that Spirit, we can now discern where the devil comes and tries to steal the power and effectiveness of this. Right? Nothing is more powerful than this, but the devil tries. But the Holy Spirit will show us when the devil is trying to undermine this. So today as we celebrate communion, I want you to remember not only what Jesus did on the cross, but I want you to remember how Jesus helps us in everyday life to overcome all of the work of the enemy. So on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. He said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Whenever you do this in remembrance of me." Again, after the supper, he took the cup and he said, "This is my blood, which is poured out for you, a new covenant. Whenever you drink of this, do so in remembrance of me." The worship team is going to lead us into a song. We've got a station set up in the back there. We're still using our little COVID sanitary cups. Maybe next month we can go back to using real bread and juice. We'll see if COVID continues to get better. So as the team leads and as you're ready, you can just head to the back and grab a cup. You do not have to be a member of our church to take communion. You just have to believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're welcome to join us at the table.